Tonight, that you see the evidence of his goodness all over your life. Amen. You know, the fact is that we're in Satan's Eden. The fact is it's more evil than it's ever been. The fact is it's harder than ever. But the truth is, he said, I'll have a bride without spot or wrinkle. The truth is somebody's going to overcome. The truth is the seals have been ripped off the book. The book is open. And tonight we have the truth restored. We have the power restored. We have the new birth restored. The truth of the matter is you're going to overcome. Amen. Amen. That's where we stand tonight. I see the evidence of his promises in fulfillment. He said, I'll have a bride. I see the evidence. I see the evidence. Amen. Can you say that tonight? Has he been good to you? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, how grateful we are. Lord, that your goodness has been all over our life. Your mercy has been all over our life. Lord, that when the enemy comes and it seems like the odds are stacked against us and facts don't look good, Lord, the truth is you've already overcome. The truth is we're overcomers through you, that you've endowed us with power from on high that we could overcome in this age. Lord, you promised there'd be overcomers, and we are the overcomers of this age. We say it with confidence because we've heard our names called. Father, tonight as we go down through your word and just study it for a little bit, Lord, I just pray that you'd bring it with clarity. Lord, that you would just help me to step aside and Lord, just go at whatever pace and flow that you would have me to go. Lord, that the word could take effect tonight. Lord, I just pray now that you take complete control. Bless the reading of your word, Lord, and just move me aside now, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Ain't God good to us? Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight and you'd like to turn to the scriptures with me, we're going to look in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And we'll read from verse 6 down through verse 14. Hebrews 9 and 6 down through verse 14. I'd like to speak to you tonight on this thought that I've been looking at on the atmosphere of fellowship restored. The atmosphere of fellowship restored. Amen. Verse 6 says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which we offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. I pray that the Lord will add his blessing as you take your seat tonight. Amen. How wonderful it is that our thoughts even can be purged and our conscience can be purged in order to serve a living God. Amen. Amen. The last time we spoke here on atmospheres and the battle for atmospheres. And I want to kind of pick up where I left off there tonight and carry it on a little further down. And we talked about how in the beginning that the earth had been in complete and total chaos and it was without form and it was void. And Brother Branham said, what a horrible shape it must have been in. Nothing but way into the darkness yonder, without light or anything, and the churning of the water and that wandering star twisted around and around the orbits out there somewhere. It must have been a terrific mass of something lost. A terrific mass of something lost. And the scripture then goes on to tell us there in Genesis, the very first chapter, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And we find out right there in the very first chapter of the Bible that when God moves, things don't stay the same. When God begins to move on a heart, that heart doesn't stay the same. When he begins to move in a home, that home doesn't stay the same. When he begins to move in a church, that church cannot stay the same. And tonight, if he begins to move, I promise you, things won't stay the same. When God moves, things change. And when God moves, things change for the better. Amen. And the earth was in complete disorder and confusion. But as the Spirit of God began to move upon it, out of that chaos came perfect order. God can take any situation you're facing tonight, no matter how chaotic it may seem, and he can bring perfect order to that situation. Amen. And out of that, in that perfect order, out of that chaos comes an Eden. And in that place of Eden, Adam and Eve operated from a place of dominion. They operated in a place of dominion with the power of the spoken word. And in that atmosphere of Eden before the fall, they were on speaking terms with God. This is very important because we're talking about the restoring, you know, the atmosphere of fellowship. In that atmosphere, they had fellowship with God. They could speak with God. They were on speaking terms. And Adam could speak, and it was as though God himself spoke. If Adam said move, it moved. If Adam said calm down, it calmed down. If he didn't like this tree in a certain place, he said move, and that tree moved. He was the God of the earth. They had fellowship with God. And we know that because of the fall and because of the deception and Eve becoming beguiled, that fellowship was lost. Fellowship became lost, and without fellowship, mankind began to slip into chaos. Man, this earth began to slip into chaos like the earth had been in before the Spirit of God moved upon the face of it. And we began to slip into this chaos because we didn't have that daily contact with God. We didn't have that fellowship with God anymore. The fellowship in the cool of the evenings as he would come down and walk with Adam and Eve and talk to them. And we know the atmospheres became clogged up with demons to where our blessings were cut off. Communications were cut off. And man becomes a wanderer. And man has to care for himself. And all the outlets of man became clogged up. Brother Branham talked about how those outlets that God had created, he had made them there so that he could manifest himself through man. And all of those outlets become clogged up and the channels that he made man for. And the atmosphere was all wrong. Everything was out of whack. Listen, it wasn't meant for the lion to go around killing. It wasn't meant for that. That atmosphere was wrong. It was meant for the lion to lay down with the lamb. And when the atmospheres get wrong, then God can't operate the way that he intends to operate. What we have to remember tonight, Evening Light Tabernacle, is atmospheres produce. Now, what do they produce? Well, it depends on what the atmosphere is. Brother Branham's very clear all through the message that it's the atmosphere that does it. He says if you want to have a healing meeting, you got to get people in the atmosphere of healing. He says if you want people filled with the Spirit, you got to get the place in the atmosphere of being filled with the Spirit. The atmospheres created is what produces. And so atmospheres produce. So we need to make it a point as a people to make sure we get the atmosphere right. Well, what is the right atmosphere tonight, brother? It's an atmosphere that welcomes him into our presence. that welcomes his presence into our midst, and then we allow him to move how he wants to move. But we want to welcome him. We want the atmosphere right in our home. We want the atmosphere right in our churches. Amen. We have to create an atmosphere where he feels welcome to visit in our homes, where he feels free to operate in our services. Every one of us have needs tonight. Every one of us stand here with situations and desires that we need God to move in. But in order for him to move for us, we need to make him feel welcome so he can at least come on the scene tonight. So he can come into this place and then go to work on our behalf. In our homes as Christians, it ought to be a place where God feels welcome. You want God to be in your home and you get the atmosphere right. Pray with the family. Read the Bible with the family. Stop all the fussing and fighting. In a Christian home, it shouldn't be a home full of fussing and fighting. And if there is fussing and fighting, shame on you if the kids see it. I don't know. That just came out, but that's how I feel. If your kids see fussing and fighting, shame on you. Well, sometimes we're going to disagree. Y'all don't got a one-bedroom house. Go fuss and fight somewhere else. Fussing and fighting shouldn't be in the church. If there's fussing and fighting in the church will never attain to the heights and the places that God wants it to attain to. We are supposed to dwell together in unity, dwell together in harmony. It's very important. Well, why isn't this happening? There's too much fussing and fighting amongst the children of God. Look, I understand. I know how it is. Siblings tend to fight sometimes. But that's no excuse for spiritual siblings to fight sometimes. We're trying to get out of here. We're trying to leave. We've got one goal. We're on the same team. Quit getting divided over little nothings. Little nothings that don't matter. But let's come together in unity and create an atmosphere where God is welcome, where lives can be changed, where God can move and heal and deliver and fill with the Spirit and lay aside. Listen, unity doesn't mean we all agree. It means we're willing to lay aside things for the cause of Christ. Let's lay things aside and get together to where it's not a place of fussing and fighting, because our churches are supposed to be fruitful. And that will hinder a fruitful church. But at the time, the atmosphere was all twisted up and our access to God was cut off. But our God is a determined God. Our God was determined that he would once again have fellowship with man. He was determined that the fall wasn't the end of it, that sin nature wouldn't always rule over his creation. And I want to tell you tonight, he's determined for you. He's determined you're going to make it. He's determined you're going to be there. He's determined you're going to overcome. He sees the trial you're in tonight, and he says, I'm determined you're coming through. I'm determined you're going to make it. Just look to the Word. Look to the Word tonight and hold on. I'm determined you're going to make it. Our God is a determined God. And he comes down and he takes on flesh, and he begins to operate the way that Adam was able to operate in the beginning. He begins to operate in that flesh by taking dominion, by speaking the word, by controlling nature. And in that body of flesh, he conquers sin. Listen, I know we point to Calvary, and you must point to Calvary. But he didn't just conquer at Calvary. He conquered sin every single day. That's what made his death worthy to pay the price. He was sinless. He conquered sin day after day after day after day. He met Satan and he overcame. He met temptation and he overcame. Hebrews said he was tempted in like manner as you. Tempted in everything that you go through. Faced with depression and anxieties. And he overcame. It says in John 16, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, why is this so important? So when you're born again and you're filled with that life has already overcome that sin that so easily besets you. That life has already overcome lust. That life has already overcome depression. That life has already overcome anxiety. That life has already overcome whatever it is you're facing tonight. It's already been attacked with heartache. It's already been attacked with depression. And that life came through sinless. That life came through victorious. And now that life lives on the inside of you tonight. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. But Brother Aaron, this is the worst thing I've ever been through. He's already conquered it. This is the toughest temptation of my life. That life inside of you's already conquered it. Hallelujah. He's already faced it and he's already defeated it. Listen, he says the life that I'm sending back to endue you with power is battle tested. The life that I'm sending you has already been proven. It won't fail you in the middle of the battle. It won't come up short in the middle of your temptation. It is tried. It is true. It will overcome. It'll take you all the way to a rapture. It's a battle tested life. And it's the only life that overcomes the world. Amen. Your best efforts won't do it. Your religion won't do it. Your rules and regulations won't do it. You have got to be born again so that the life of the overcomer. Let me say that again. The overcomer. There's only ever been one. But when the life of the overcomer takes control of your life, then you become an overcomer. So get the overcomer on the inside of you tonight and become an overcomer in the last day. How am I going to do it? The life of the overcomer lives on the inside of me. That was the whole point of the kinsman redeemer. That was the whole point of God in flesh. It was the whole point of Calvary. So that the life of the sacrifice could come back on the worshiper to change his nature so he didn't leave there bound. Hallelujah. But they would come in and come underneath that shed blood and come out not only covered by it, but changed by it. That's where we have to live. So that we can say like Paul did in Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ lives in you. Don't let that just become something we say. Don't let that be an emotion. Don't let that be a one-time altar experience. Christ lives in you. When daily, every moment, in the battle, in the trial, through the fire, through the sickness, Christ lives in me. I live by Christ alone. Amen. Listen, some of you here know you've been born again. You know you've been born again and you know that you've been changed. And yet you find yourself crippled with fear. You find yourself crippled with torment. You find yourself crippled and bound with depression. And you're trying your best to fight it. You're trying to overcome those complexes. You're trying. You're trying to break those family cycles. You see the robber. You know what it is. I know it's a cycle. I know it's a complex. I know you see it and you recognize it and you know what's robbing you. And the whole time, think about it like this. The whole time, that life, the life of the overcomer, is sitting right there on the inside of you saying, just let me at him. Just let me at him. Just turn me loose. I've already whooped this fellow before. I've overcome this before. I've calmed this storm before. Just let me deal with it. Just turn me loose tonight. Some of you's got a rock in the sling and you're standing there doing this at Goliath. Turn it loose tonight. Let it go and let it hit its mark. It's Christ on the inside of you. Turn him loose. There's a lion roaring. Let me have him. Let me have him. But we got him caged up. Turn him loose tonight. Let him fight your battle. He's already overcome it. Hallelujah. Get out of his way tonight. And let the life that has already overcome the world live itself out through you. Jesus came and began to operate in the flesh the way that Adam had in the garden, with dominion and with authority. And he opens the way again to fellowship by stripping Satan of every claim and every right he ever had on man. And he paid the debt that only God in flesh could pay. And once again, a way was made through the atmospheres between God and man. As Brother Branham says, the Bible said he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. There was an atmosphere hung over the earth of darkness, of gloom, of death, and weary. The prayers couldn't come up because the atonement wasn't made. But he broke through that veil. He opened up the way. Hallelujah. So when the world was in chaos with no hope, he changed the atmosphere and created an Eden. And then when man was lost without hope, separated from God, he came in flesh. He changed the atmosphere and he paid sin's debt on Calvary. And then he didn't stop right there. Too many people today preach Calvary, and we should. But it didn't stop right there. He went from Calvary down to hell and he conquered hell. Then he comes up to the grave and he rises again and he conquers the grave. And then he ascended, and as he did, he tore through those atmospheres that was clogged by demons, and he made a way once again for access to God. And now that he ascended, and now that the price was paid, now he could send back his life. That was the whole point of it, was sending back his life that it could live in the worshiper. So he could send back the Holy Ghost so that other men could operate the way he operated. So that other men could have dominion. So that other men could overcome. So that other men could cast out devils. So that other men could preach the day of salvation. That's what he sent it back for. So that other men could do exactly what he had done while he was here on the earth in flesh. It wasn't about just being forgiven. Don't stop tonight at just forgiven. I praise God that we're forgiven. I thank God that we're justified. But don't stop there. Move on to sanctification. And then don't stop there. I rejoice with you in your sanctification. I'm not beating you down or de-Christianizing you. I'm saying there's more for you tonight. There's a token for you tonight. There's an overcoming life here for you tonight. Press on to that tonight. But now, because he sends his life back, now you can be empowered. Now man again could operate the way that God intended them to operate, from the position that he intended them to operate from in the beginning. Even though Satan's still there saying you don't have a right to, now you do have a right. And you have to fight for it, and you have to battle for it, and he accuses you constantly, but you have a right to be there. You have a right to claim your promises. You have a right to cast Satan down. You have a right to stand on the word. You have a right to claim your children. You have a right to claim your healing. You're going to fight for it, but you have a right to be there. He was putting man back in a place that they could now fellowship with God again. Placed back on speaking terms. It was about changing natures. Because I love this. See, in the same way that a kinsman had to be kin in order to pay the debt, we had to become his nature in order to have fellowship and be united with him. See, it wasn't just his nature that was changed. He became man so that he could pay our debt, so that our nature could be changed, so that we could be united with him. Our nature has to be changed so that there can be a uniting, so there can be a marriage. Hallelujah. It was about a bride all the time. It was about you all the time. Oh, I'm a nobody. Nope, it was all about you. I don't know if I'm gonna make it. You're the one it's all for. It's your ceremony. It's your wedding supper. He did it so your nature could be changed, that you could be united with him. And for a while, that first church lived and overcame from that place. They not only preached the new birth, they achieved the new birth. They fellowshiped with God. He led them. He provided for them. They were perfectly in harmony with God. Brother Branham says the world was almost Christianized in one decade with one round of disciples. And I read that and I thought about when God put Adam in the garden and he said, subdue it. These were men going out to subdue. They were operating under the same commission that Adam was. We're going to go out and take this earth back. This earth. We're going to get men and women. We're going to get them to conquer this earth. They're going to subdue it and they're going to get filled with the Spirit. And they were on a mission. They had been commissioned and they were going out. subduing, just like Adam, and they operated in the faith. Well, Brother Aaron, you didn't say they operated in faith. No, they operated in the faith. Well, what is the faith? It's the faith of God. It was pure faith. It was unadulterated faith. Faith just like God had used when he created the world. Faith? Yeah. God had faith. God used faith. Brother Branham says, by the same sense, God spoke when there was nothing. What is that sense? That super sense is God, the faith of God in you. The part of God that comes into you gives you the super sense. By that same super sense, God framed the world together with things which was not and did not appear. He spoke his word and believed his word. And a world shook into existence. Glory. That's incredible to me. Why do you think that Brother Branham would say that if there wasn't a law against it, you could create a world and go live on it? Because what faith are we operating by? The faith. The same faith that's already spoke a world into existence once. It's already happened once. This is the faith they were operating by, pure faith. Amen. It was the same faith that Adam had before the fall. Adam spoke and it happened. How did that happen? Because he believed. He had no reason not to believe. Fear hadn't entered in. Doubt hadn't entered in. He just spoke and expected it to be so. Which is how we're taught that we are to operate. Just speak and believe it. Speak the word and go forward. Well, that's what Adam did. He was operating by the same faith that had created the garden. Now he dressed the garden. He calmed the winds. He moved trees. He controlled all nature. He controlled all animals. Because there was no doubt. There was God's word and nothing else. What a place to be in tonight. Can we get ourselves to that place to where there's God's word and nothing else? There's God's word that says I'm healed. There's God's word that said my offspring are going to be there. There's God's word that says he was going to have a church without spot or wrinkle. It was God's word that said to the overcomers of the age, will I grant to sit with me on my right hand? It's God's word. It's God's word and nothing else. Well, I don't know. I do. Just look to God's word tonight. Amen. There was God's word and nothing else. Because you can't fellowship with God and doubt him. You cannot fellowship with God and doubt him. You can't have fellowship without faith. You can't please God without faith. Think about it. It's impossible to please God without faith. Then he says, when I return, will I find faith? And then he sends a message to turn our hearts back to the faith. It's very important. It almost tickles me, but it almost frustrates me when people are like, well, that guy's simple. He preaches faith. I'm like, it gets no deeper than faith. It gets no deeper than faith. I'm just going to leave that there. Because somewhere it got twisted up in people's mind that faith is simple preaching. Listen, if that's what it takes to please God, it don't get no deeper than that. Because that's all I want to do is please God. I want the faith of God living in me, overcoming in me. I don't want to doubt God. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I want faith. I'm not going to go in a rapture without faith. I got to have perfect faith. This message came to restore the faith. Oh, but these mysteries and this and this, and it's so deep, and it is. But why did the message come? Why were the mysteries revealed? Why was the message vindicated? Faith. All your depth and your mysteries and your spiritual riddles lead back to faith. That's the depth of it. It's all about returning to the faith. And this first church was operating in the faith of God because they had been born again. They were operating in faith because they had been born again. They had received the new birth, and now they were speaking like Adam spoke before the fall. Nature was subject. Demons were subject. The body was subject. The word was coming forth in power. There were fruits. Now we're going to stop there for a second, because if you got the new birth, like they got the new birth, there will be a harvest of fruits. And it won't be a one-time harvest, because it ain't a one-time thing. The Holy Spirit ain't coming and going. It's indwelling. And so it should be producing fruits of the Spirit. There will be a harvest. There was fruits. If we get what they got, we'll produce the same things. Are you talking about the miracles and all that? Absolutely I am. But I'm talking about the overcoming life. I'm talking about victory to live above sin. And then all the other things that go with it, the miracles and the signs and the wonders. Yes, that'll be there too. It's part of it. They were no longer coming and going in and out of the presence of God now based off the sacrifice of a bull or a goat. They didn't come in and then leave out from underneath that. But now they had stepped into the Shekinah glory. Amen. And that's where you have to go tonight. That's where, when you step in there, the world is shut off from you. When you step in there, that's where you find peace. When you step in there, that's where you find victory. When you enter into the Holy of Holies and you aren't just out there eating manna in the outer courts. Come on, somebody. You can't just stay out there eating manna. Sure, it's real manna. Sure, it's real blessings out there in the outer courts. Those are real things. But if you aren't sealed away by the new birth, that manna will spoil. Listen, I'm going to go here for just a second. If manna is blessings and we believe in blessings, and if jumping and shouting and dancing because the Spirit fell upon us and those things that accompany that are blessings, then we want them. But don't just be satisfied by those blessings. Because you can still have that manna in the Holy of Holies. The manna's still there, but it's manna that never spoils. You won't jump and dance on Sunday and be defeated on Monday. You won't jump and shout on Wednesday and then be a sinner on Thursday. But you'll go into the Holy Ghost, to the Holy of Holies, and the world will be sealed out. Your life will be sealed. You'll be an overcomer. Then you can dance like you've never danced before. You can shout like you've never shouted before. You will have victory. Real victory in the Shekinah glory. When you're living in the presence of God, born again, sealed by the Spirit, then you're living in a different atmosphere. Amen. I can't just hang mine on this neat little hook because it hangs out on the floor. And then I'll end up tripping and walking all over it. But you're living in a different atmosphere then. Amen. In that atmosphere, an old dead stick began to produce almonds. Think about it. It began to produce what it produced at the beginning. Back when it was connected to the life source. Before it was cut off. Before it became a staff. Before it had been dead for 50 years, it went back past all that and began to produce what it produced at the beginning. Amen. It began to bring forth life. That's what happens to a believer when they're born again. Your life may look dead, it may look dried up, but once it lays in the atmosphere, that life begins to blossom. And then from that blossom comes fruits. And then you'll start to produce the very life that you were supposed to produce all along when God formed you, when God made you. He said, here's the life I want. And for years it was dead. For years it didn't produce. But then you get it in the Holy of Holies and it lays in that atmosphere and it blossoms and it grows and it gives the fruit that you were always meant to produce. Hallelujah. That life becomes fruitful. You are a son and daughter of God, and you begin to yield the fruits of the Spirit, but you can't yield those fruits in the outer court. It can't just be on the flesh and on the spirit. Listen, I enjoy feeling it on my flesh. I enjoy it on my spirit, but that ain't what seals you. That ain't what changes you. Let it get down on the inside. Go into the Holy of Holies and let the Holy of Holies get on the inside of you. and let your life be changed. Brother Branham says, that's the way you see people. Oh, they say we're eating the good manna of God. That's right. But where are they living? They're living out there eating it in an atmosphere that they should not eat it in. But when he once walked in behind that holiest of holies, walked into the presence of God and the veil falls behind him, there's a pot of manna where he can eat it every day and every hour of the week. There's where he's living in the Shekinah glory, where in the interlocked wings of the cherubims, the great pillar of fire and the Shekinah rested there, and he's living under there. He can't be nothing but a real, genuine Christian anytime. And then he just says, atmosphere. Atmosphere. You become a real, genuine Christian. Yes, there's manna that falls in the outer courts, but we have to go inside behind the inner veil into the Holy of Holies, because out there you're up and down. Out there you're in and out. You're shook by this and you're shook by that. And this preacher says this, but this preacher says that. So now I'm tore up and I'm all shook and I'm living in the outer courts. And when you're there, you're subject to the winds and the storms. And this person said this to me and I'm hurt. We all get hurt. We all get hurt. I'm not questioning your hurt. I've never questioned someone's offense. We all get offended. Let's be real for a minute. All of us have times where people get on our nerves. You can see, oh, pfft. There'll be no lies here tonight. We all go through that. But we're in the Holy of Holies, so that's just the wind, and it don't bother us. That's just a little storm outside, and it don't bother us, because I'm in here in the Holy of Holies, and my life is blooming, and my life is fruitful, and I'm overcoming, and the God of heaven's on the inside of me, and that may hurt me, but I press on, and that may bother me, but I press on, and that may get on my nerves, but I press on, and I come together, and we worship together, and we praise together, we overcome together, we're victorious together, we're going to rapture together. If you get in the Holy of Holies where those things don't move you anymore. Go inside and get born again. And let the Shekinah cut off all the negative atmospheres. Cut you off from your own thinking. Cut you off from your reasoning. And live in a place to where the attacks don't ruin your atmosphere, but your atmosphere repels the attacks. Listen, it shouldn't bring you down every time something comes against you or somebody offends, because it's going to happen all the time. If that's how we live, we're going to be upset a lot. But the atmosphere you live in should repel those things away from you, like water off of a duck's back. Amen. Christians with the life of Christ on the inside, displaying that life to the world by bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Not just by saying, I go to church. You should come check out my church. Oh, I didn't know you went to church. Well, that's a red flag. You should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You should be testifying to the world that there's a living God. By the works that I do, shall you do also. By the atmosphere of a holy God surrounding your life, a life overflowing with joy, a life overflowing with peace, a life overflowing with gentleness. You can't live your life in a negative atmosphere and then walk around talking about the token life on the inside. Those things don't go together. No, come on, guys, I'm real. I know we have bad days. We're not always going to be. That's not how it always is, but you shouldn't live in this place. You shouldn't live in an atmosphere of negativity. Live in an atmosphere of the wowsy, wowsy woos and woe is me and I can't believe this happened to me and I've got the worst luck and I've got this and nobody. Listen, I'm miserable talking about it. I had to fight off depression there for a second. I was like, no, devil. No, I can't live like that. Because in spite of all that, I know I'm a child of God. It's a bad day, but he died for me. It's a bad day, but he gave me the Holy Ghost. It's a bad day, but he sent a message. It's a bad day, but he healed my body. I'm having a bad day, but me and my offspring are going to be there. What do I have to be sad about? What are you producing? Does your atmosphere bring peace? Or is every time you come around, there's fussing and fighting? And it's always filled with drama. Listen, it's like this. If everywhere you go it stinks, you need to check your shoe. Man, every time I'm around them people, they're just fussing and fighting. Then I go over here and they're fussing. I can't find nobody getting along. Hello? There's one common denominator. Well, it's just always drama. Isn't it funny? I've said this before. But there's some people that know about all the drama. And there's literally people in this church that don't have the first clue about any drama that's ever gone on here. You know why? They don't feed on it. They don't like it. They don't want it. And so they don't even know about it because they choose not to be a part of it. Drama in your life is a choice. Check your atmosphere. Check where you're living at. Because if you're living in that heavenly atmosphere of the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit, your life will bloom and bring forth fruits of the Spirit. Not fruits of division. Not fruits of gossip. Not fruits of doubt and unbelief. Fruits of negativity. Because those are fruits of the curse. All those fruits come from the curse and they're not from the new birth. But the first church age was born again and they were producing fruits because they were born again. Faith was restored. Fellowship was restored. They were back like Adam and Eve again. It was a love affair between them and God. God and his church. Or should I say, it was God and his bride. That first church was to be the bride. Brother Branham says, the birth of the church was at Pentecost. And as the first Adam was given a bride fresh from the hand of God, undefiled for a brief span, so was Christ, the last Adam, given a bride pure and fresh at Pentecost. And she remained separate and undefiled for some time. He says in the harvest time, now the second Eve, watch her. She was created anew like he was at the day of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit, fed by the word. Amen. She was to be Christ's bride. He says she was born on the day of Pentecost. She was spirit filled and she was word fed. That was to be the bride. And for a time, just like Eve, she remains pure. And for a time, once again, there's fellowship through the new birth. I want you to understand that without the new birth, you are not in fellowship with God. Through the new birth, there was fellowship. Those that were being added each and every day weren't joining. They were being born. They were being born into it. Natures were being changed. Faith was being restored. Fellowship restored. And Paul knew exactly what was going on. He recognized the significance of it all. This wasn't just a movement. This wasn't just a religion. It wasn't just a church. This was a bride for Christ. And looking back, he recognizes what had been restored and where they stood. And he knew what had happened in Eden. And he feared that once again, Satan would try to defile the bride. And so he says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, we'll read through verse 4. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now that last line there, what does that mean? It means you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach. He's like, I'm worried about you because there's all kind of doctrines and things going around in the ranks of the message, and we just put up with it. We just sit back and gum it down. He says, and I'm worried. Now think about it. Why'd I make that parallel? If he said that he had espoused us to Christ as a virgin, and our messenger said, I preach what Paul preached, what was he doing for us? What was his message? He was espousing a bride for Christ that he could present her as a virgin. Listen, we're not here to chop down other churches and chop down other ministries. No, sir. We're fighting for the same goal. But what I am saying is we're not supposed to just gum down every little thing and accept every little doctrine. Stay with the message. You don't want to be deceived. Stay with the message. You don't want to be beguiled. Stay with the message. Stay with what the prophet said. Don't run off after this and run off after this. He said, I fear you're going to be deceived. He says, Eve, the serpent's whispering again, and you're listening again. He says, Eve, don't accept anything but the word, or you're going to be beguiled again. And now this second Eve, born here at Pentecost, found herself with the same choice. Stay with the faith. Stay with the word and remain pure. Or listen to the lie of the enemy. The original faith, think about it, has been restored. God has done marvelous things. Trust and fellowship have been restored by the new birth. Jude recognizes what's going on. He cries out, contend for the faith. We've got the faith. This is the faith of God. Contend for it. Don't lose it. Don't go that way. Don't listen to what they're saying. But they put up with the false teachings. And as Paul said, they bore with them false teachers, and soon it took hold. Reasoning and man's thinking took the place of faith. And that's exactly what had happened in the Garden of Eden. Prophet of God says, Adam lost his inheritance, the earth. Now it passed from his hand to the one he sold it to, Satan. He sold his faith in God to Satan's reasonings. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth belonged to him. And he forfeited every bit to the hands of Satan. He passed it from his hand to Satan. He says in the breach, the title deed to eternal life, abstract title deed to eternal life, when Adam forfeited for wisdom instead of faith, it went back to the hands of the owner. So the first Eve listened and fell and sold their faith. She hybridized the faith. That's what Brother Branham would say. She doubted what God said, and so she took some of what God said, and she took some of what the devil said. She mixed it all together, and she said, here it is. She lost the title. They lost fellowship. And now the second Eve falls once again because Satan comes and beguiles, and this church chooses wisdom and knowledge and the leadership of man. And the prophet of God said, naturally fell in Eden by listening to Satan's reasoning against God's word. That's how she fell. All right, sir. She fell because she did that. Spiritual Eve. Now that's the church, Christ's bride. She fell not in Eden, but in Rome, see, at the Nicaea Council when she rejected that Pentecostal church. You have another Eve fallen. And just like that, Eve, the church, hybridized the faith, just like Eve, natural, had done in the garden. And once again, trust is broken. The faith was mixed with fears and frustrations and failures and theology. Mixed in with paganism. And the church mixed it all together just like Eve did and said, here it is. This is the faith. This is it. And just as before when the world went into a chaos, the church goes into chaos. The church goes into idolatry and there's confusion and fear. And there's an atmosphere of doubt around the church. Listen, there was no way that church could rapture. There was no way there could be a rapture. Satan twisted it up and it fell further and further out of fellowship, further and further away from the new birth, further and further away from the faith that would be needed. How could there be a marriage if there couldn't even be fellowship? You couldn't have a marriage if you couldn't even have fellowship. Church, we were in a mess. We were in a bad spot. Eve was beguiled and she was being drugged further and further away from Eden all the time. Beguiled and everything was lost. Beguiled and faithless. Headed the wrong direction all the time. What Brother Branham say? It was just a big, terrific mass of something lost. And the Spirit of God moved. Hallelujah. And he said, I will restore. And the Spirit of God moved, and out comes justification. And the Spirit of God moves, and he says, I'm going to bring them back into fellowship. I'm going to turn them back to the original. Oh my, all it takes tonight is for the Spirit of God to move, and atmospheres begin to change. The Spirit of God moved, and the just shall live by faith. The Spirit of God moved, and all of a sudden you had sanctification. The Spirit of God moved, and along comes Azusa Street and the restoration of the gifts. And what did it do? It brought order again, just like he had in the Garden of Eden. And yet there still couldn't be fellowship. Why? Because it was still hybrid. Those were truths. But there were still ideas of man's and dogmas mixed into those truths. It was still hybridized. There were still claims against the church. You know, that they had enough light to know that he was the Son of God. They had enough light to claim him as their personal Savior. But false teaching still had the church bound up. The faith still hadn't turned back to the original. But he wasn't done. He wasn't done restoring. He said, I will restore all. He wasn't just going to stop halfway. He said, I'm not going to stop until this bride tree is restored all the way back up into its complete glory. Amen. He wasn't done because there was still a message coming. There was a message coming in this day to restore fellowship, to restore Bible truth, to restore the doctrine of the new birth, to get us in line that we could have fellowship again. There was supposed to be light at the evening time. There was going to be a called out group who once again could fellowship with God through the new birth. There was supposed to be a rapture church. He hasn't forgotten. Don't think for a minute he's forgotten us here in Laodicea. Listen, the wheels may be grinding slow, but they grind sure. There will be a rapture. You will be a part of it. He said he'd send Elijah and he did it. He said he'd turn our hearts and he did it. He said there'll be overcomers and there will be. He hasn't forgot us here. Hallelujah. But the atmosphere had to be right for a rapture. Because atmospheres produce. And the atmosphere that was on the church couldn't produce a rapture. The bride had to be turned away from doubt. The bride had to be turned away from fear and isms and these little doctrines and theology and Catholic dogmas. And the message came to change the atmosphere around the church. And it brought us back to a place of believing again. What did he have to do with Sarah? He had to get her attitude right. He had to get the atmosphere right. He had to get her believing again so she could receive the promised son. So she could receive a body change. It had to turn us back to faith again. Back to a place where a people operated by the word. A people lived by the word. A people moved by the word. And it did that. And how did it do that? It did that by, just like the first church, it brought us back to the new birth. That's how it brought us back to that place again. It brought us back to the new birth. For without the new birth, there can be no fellowship with God. I know there can be no fellowship without blood. But we don't have the literal blood today. We have the life of the blood. So there can be no fellowship unless it's under the life of that blood. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. And when you get in there and it gets in, then and it gets on the inside of you, then you can have fellowship. This is the age of restored fellowship. This is a message of restored fellowship. This is the message that brings us not part of the way back, that doesn't restore a partial truth or a little truth. This is the message that ties it all together. This is the message that brings us back into an atmosphere of fellowship. Amen. Now we can speak. Now we can fellowship. Now we can talk to God. Listen, I'm thankful for Luther. I'm thankful for Wesley. I'm thankful for Azusa. But none of them allowed you to again openly fellowship with God because they operated in portions. They operated with claims against them. Listen, I want to drive this home. It's not a knock on other ages. It's not looking down on them. They operated in the fullness of what they were given. They went as far as they could go in the light God gave them. They operated in the fullness of the message of their day. But the fullness of all of it wasn't given to them. We can't look down our noses because more has been given in this age. They fulfilled all they could. They did their part. But fellowship could not be fully restored because the Holy Ghost was not given in its fullness. You must have the new birth to fellowship. I'm going to go through some of these quotes. He says, on the inside of the holiest of holies, one man once a year went in there. But when our real sacrifice, Jesus Christ, died at Calvary, he rent the veil in two, making the way with his own blood, that whosoever will can come into the Shekinah glory in the presence of the Holy Ghost and be filled with the power of Pentecost. As they did after the veil had been torn down, yellow, brown, black, white, male, female, Gentile, Jew, whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountain of the Lord. When they come into that Shekinah glory anointed with the Holy Spirit, then they got fellowship with God again. Then they're sons and daughters of God. No wonder we stop at the water of separation and try to fellowship from there. You can't do it. You stop by the side of the blood without entering into the holy place. You are not in fellowship. You must go all the way. He says justification is waters of separation. And sanctification, cleansing of our soul. And when we go into the holiest of holies where the Shekinah glory is, by that one spirit we are baptized into that one body and have fellowship with God. Amen. You'll never be able to do it by the waters of separation alone. So justification doesn't do it. He said now, he's not in fellowship yet. Yet he's separated from his sins, but he's not in fellowship yet. Look, sanctification won't do it. He says that brings you Methodists up, all right, for your sanctification. Still not in fellowship. Still don't do it. But when they went, he was inside the building. But you could fellowship with one another, greet one another, but no fellowship with God yet. My. It doesn't grant full access. There couldn't be restored fellowship until this message. There couldn't be restored to the atmosphere like they had in Eden on speaking terms until this message. Under those things, it wouldn't allow a rapture. Because in that condition, you can't return to open face-to-face fellowship. Amen. Brother Branham says that is the only place of fellowship. In those ages, they couldn't return all the way back. Why? Well, it's simple. They didn't have the word restored. The book was still a sealed book. But in this age, listen, how many people have longed to sit where you're sitting in this age where the book's open and they can return to a condition of fellowship with God once again, where he hears them and he speaks back, and you can operate in that place where all your rights are restored and you have the right to look Satan in the eye and you can speak the word. Take your hands off my property. Back off of my property. Give me my promises. Give me my mountain. We stand in that place tonight because there's restored fellowship through the Holy Ghost. In other words, under this message, there is full adoption. That's what this message is. We're not operating in a place of a portion, and therefore we need another step. No, we don't need another step. This birth is the token, and this token is the adoption. The Holy Ghost, as we know it, the new birth, like they received at the day of Pentecost, wasn't available in previous stages of restoration. Not as we know it. Not exactly like they had it at Pentecost. It hasn't returned like that until now. And in the previous stages of restoration, it wasn't available. That doesn't mean that they didn't have the Holy Ghost in the portion that it was given. That doesn't mean that they didn't attain the fullness of what was available. But if they got that under Wesley or they got that under Azusa, there was always more in front of them not yet revealed. There was always more that they needed to press towards. There was more steps to go to. Because it wasn't yet open. It wasn't yet available. So as a people, they were not restored to speaking terms. But you tonight, the book is totally open. You have the right to stand in fellowship with God. You have the right to put your foot on the neck of the devil. There is no claim on your life. There is no condemnation on your life. This message came and it told you where you came from. It told you where you were going. And not only that, it told us where we were. And it told us what rights we had. The book is open. We are restored back to a place of fellowship tonight. Hallelujah. The atmosphere changed when the seals were open. Listen, to wrap this up, but just bear with me for about 5 minutes. The atmosphere changed when the seals were open. Listen, there's nothing to me that points to fellowship being completely restored and relationship being restored more than God sharing his secrets with us. Think about it. I couldn't tell others, but I'm going to tell you. I couldn't fellowship about this with them, but I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you, fellowship's restored. Communication is restored. We're back on speaking terms. And he comes down and he says, this is why I couldn't show them, but I'm showing you. And there's going to be this portion allotted to these people and this portion allotted. And here's where the horse riders went forth. And he lays it all out. It's like a love letter. It's his love secrets. And he draws you in close. And he says, this message has brought you back to a place where I can share all of this with you. I couldn't tell them, but I can tell you because you're my bride. You're my wife. You're my sweetheart. And you've been restored to a place of fellowship. And because of that, he begins to share all his secrets with you. Hallelujah. Oh, the atmosphere changed. All the claims are struck off. The light is shining. Fellowship is restored. There's a bride that's been turned to an atmosphere of believing again. Right here. We've been turned to an atmosphere of believing again. There's a bride on speaking terms again. You can speak to God tonight. You can speak to storms tonight. You can speak to devils and tell them to go tonight. Why? It's the adoption message. And because of that, you speaking his word is the same as deity speaking. In other words, you have checkbook authority. You've been adopted. You've been given the token. And in this day, you are in fellowship again. Hallelujah. So it's time that we rise up like Adam would to the storms in your life and say, peace be still. It's time to rise up and speak life to your children that are out wandering around in darkness. Rise up and speak to the storms in your life. In other words, we've been turned back to the faith of God so that we can please God. I love that. He says, will I find faith? And then he says, you can't even please me without it. And he requires it, and then he supplies it. Don't we serve an awesome God? You've got to have this, so here it is. You've got to have the token, so here it is. There's got to be something to turn your heart back to faith, so here it is. There's got to be something to catch your attention, Sarah, and change your attitude, so here it is. He doesn't require anything that he doesn't supply for you. Oh, there had to be a life. I'll give mine. There had to be a spotless lamb. I'll come and be it. There's got to be a debt paid. I'll do it. Somebody's got to come back to relationship again. I'll bring them in. He requires it and then he provides it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a restored word. Bringing forth a restored people in a restored atmosphere to operate like the first Adam operated. To operate like the second Adam operated. Why? It's a restoration. And in that restored atmosphere, There are sons and daughters operating by faith in the word. And once again, we can speak and it will be so. We can create an atmosphere where Satan's not welcome. Listen, we're not subject to atmospheres. We're the creator of atmospheres. We can create an atmosphere where the sick are healed. We can create an atmosphere of deliverance. We can create an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. Sure, Satan can still whip up the seas. He can still come and cause trials and tribulation. But when a son recognizes where he's at and squares his shoulders back, just like the first Adam and just like the second Adam, you are now in a position you can stand there and say, "Peace be still. You'll not have my children. You'll not have my health. You'll not have my finances. I'm standing in a restored place, in a restored atmosphere, and I'm on speaking terms with God. And when I take his word on my lips, it's the same as deity speaking. So Satan, you go. Satan, you go. You take your leave." Oh, hallelujah. We're taking a rapture. I'm taking my children. I've been restored to the place of Eden. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about this. Musicians, you can come. Then if we can speak the word, then we have been restored to a place of fellowship. And once we are in fellowship, then there can be relationship. And if there can be relationship, there can be a marriage. How close are we? He restored us to a place of fellowship so that there can be relationship, so that there can be a marriage. Brother Branham says, "I believe now that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I recognize his blood went before me. Then the Holy Spirit comes down and a miraculous power transforms your life and picks you up and brings you into the inside of the veil. And there you have fellowship with God and commune with him as Adam did in the beginning of the Garden of Eden." And God looks down in this last day and he sees people operating again like Adam operated. And he sees people operating again like the second Adam operated. He sees people controlling atmospheres and not being controlled by them. And he says, "Finally, it's evening time. And after all this time, I can come down again in the cool of the evening." And he walks with us. And he talks with us. He meets with us in our bedrooms. He meets with us in our cars. He meets with us in services. He says, "Oh, finally, fellowship again. It's the evening time. Oh, it's the cool of the evening." And out there it may be chaos, but not right here in Eden. Not right here walking with our Lord. Not right here restored in fellowship again. Oh, hallelujah. And in that place, we're not subject to atmospheres. Oh, don't worry. You said, "Brother Aaron, Eve fell, and the second Eve fell." This bride's predestinated not to fall. You're not going to fall. We're just going to keep right on walking with our bridegroom. We're just going to keep right on walking until the atmosphere gets right. And the atmosphere will produce. And he's going to look and he's going to say, "Oh, the bride, she made herself ready. It's rapture day." We are going to come to a place to where we are so victorious, to where we walk so hand in hand with the bridegroom, where we stand in our position so boldly and speak the word, that the bride is actually going to create the atmosphere that produces the rapture. He's going to say, "It's rapture time. She did it. She made herself ready. She overcame. She's walked in the fellowship. She's welcomed me back. She lets me come down in the cool of the evening. It's rapture time. It's going home time. We're back in Eden again. I'd like to tell the devil, we're back. We're back. You held us down for a long time, but a message came and we're back. We're back in the atmosphere of fellowship with God Almighty. We don't have to listen to your lies. We don't have to cow down to sickness. We don't have to back up from no giant tonight. We're back and we're we're saying, peace be still. Take your hands off. Get out the way. We're going up in a rapture. The atmosphere is clear. He made the way. It's going home time. It's going home time, church. We've been returned to an atmosphere of fellowship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why should I worry when giants come calling my name? I know my God is so much bigger than the troubles I face.
He will be faithful.